This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with the narrow escape, the overthrow, the aftermath, Abimelech's dream, and Abimelech confronts Abraham. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
A reading from Revelation chapter 22. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I am coming soon. That is a promise from Jesus to you, reiterated three times in this last chapter of the last book of our Lord's Word. I am coming soon. The Lord of all, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The one who went to the cross for you, to pay for your sins, to reconcile you to God the Father, and give you the hope of everlasting life and the resurrection of the body. The one who rose from the dead, so you could be assured that those who are in Christ too shall rise on the last day. The one who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, above all rulers and authorities and dominions, above all powers, he promises to you, even though you cannot see him right now, I am coming soon. Now, how should we respond to this promise? After all, it's been 2,000 years that the church has been waiting for Jesus to fulfill his promise. I am coming soon. When is soon? When will he come? And after nearly 2,000 years, we might be tempted to respond in unbelief to our Lord's promise. We might be tempted to say either, no, he's not coming at all, or to say, well, he hasn't come after all these years, and maybe he could just wait a little bit longer. After all, there are so many things that I have to do, so many things that I have worked for. So Jesus, not yet. But our Lord calls us, when he says, I am coming soon, not to say no or not yet, but to say, if you were to read the rest of the chapter of Revelation 22, to say with the entire church, Amen, come Lord Jesus. So let's first look at what it is to respond in unbelief, and then to look at what it means to respond in faith and say, Amen, come Lord Jesus. First, to look at what it looks like to respond in unbelief. Certainly, it's clear that anyone who says, no, Jesus isn't coming back, who denies his promise outright, certainly that person is an unbeliever, who doesn't believe what Jesus says or doesn't want him to come back at all. But then there's the person who might confess the Apostles' Creed with us, who says that Jesus is coming back someday to judge the living and the dead, but they might say, you know, I have so many things that I'm looking forward to here on this earth. After all, perhaps you might say, I've come to seminary and worked hard so that I can serve a parish. I can go to some new place I haven't seen before, some new people, and be placed in some sort of vicarage, or receive a call to serve full-time as a pastor, or receive a deaconess internship. And you might say, well, you know, Jesus, you could just wait until after that. Give me an opportunity to enjoy what I've worked so hard for. Or someone else might say, you know, I'm looking forward to getting married this summer. Perhaps you could just wait until after that. Or we're looking forward to having children. Perhaps you could wait until after that. Or perhaps a person says, you know, I've been working for 30 or 40 years and saving for this retirement. And I have all of these plans for what I am going to do. Perhaps have this vacation home on the lake or in Florida, and I would really like to enjoy it before you come back. Now, these people may say, yes, I believe Jesus is coming back. I know that his promise is true, but I just don't want it quite yet. They don't really want to give up the things of this world. In these years since the ascension of Jesus, they have become attached to the things of this world. Perhaps you have become attached to the things of this world, and you don't really want to give them up. Perhaps you might say, if Jesus came back in the next 10 minutes, I might be disappointed because there's just so much else that I want to enjoy. You might say, and aren't these the Lord's blessings after all? But this is still unbelief, because it says that the blessings I have now, I really want, and I'm not willing to give them up for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has something far better to give. This would be to idolize the blessings that our Lord gives rather than the one who gives them, to idolize the creature rather than the creator, the gift rather than the giver. Our Lord says, I am coming soon. And the response of every Christian who trusts our Lord's promise should be to say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, even if it means that he comes right now in the next 30 seconds. And everything else that I'm looking forward to, even though they may be wonderful blessings of God, everything else on my calendar that I've planned for, anticipated, and worked so hard to get, all of those things may go away. But the Christian says, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, because what's on Jesus' calendar is better than what's on my calendar. What Jesus has to give is better than any of the blessings that I have in this sinful world. You see, the Christian stops and looks at what Jesus has done and who he is, and then looks around at this world and looks at himself and says, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The Christian says, this is the Savior, this Savior who promises I'm coming soon. This Savior is the one who went into death for me, who gave his life for me to buy me back, to wash me, to wash my robes and make them white in his blood so that I can stand before him with palm branches in my hands, with all the company of heaven, with angels and archangels, with people of every tribe and language and people and nation. This is what he has planned for me. He plans to shelter me with his presence, to wipe away every tear from my eyes, to give me what I cannot imagine, to give me better than anything I could experience or look forward to or work for on this earth. The Christian looks at Jesus and says, I trust that this Savior has good things to give me. And then he also looks at the world around him and says, here on this earth, even if I have lots of wonderful blessings from God, I am dealing with Satan, who wants to send me to hell. I am dealing with a world deceived by Satan, that wants me to follow its ways. I am dealing with my sinful nature, struggling against it day after day after day. A sinful nature that wants to go in the opposite direction, away from my Lord. And the Christian says, there is, even though there are many great blessings in this world that our Lord gives, there is great danger here that would separate me, that would want to separate me from my Lord. But my Lord says that he is coming soon. My Lord desires that I be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so I trust him and I say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. And this is what the whole church says. The verse after our reading says that the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let the one who hears say, Come. The Holy Spirit, who calls us to faith in Jesus, and the bride, that is the church, respond to the words of the Jesus and say, Come, Lord Jesus. And Scripture also here says that everyone who hears should, along with them, say, Come, Lord Jesus. We should say, Come now. Come now to redeem me. The Christian speaks with the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and says, I have died. My life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is my life, appears, then I will appear with him in glory. The Christian says with the Apostle Paul, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. The Christian wants Jesus more than anything else. And so the Christian, in summarizing the Lord's Prayer and that last petition that we just prayed, prays with the whole church over the last 2,000 years, deliver us from evil, even right this minute. Deliver us from evil. Come, Lord Jesus. So what does this look like? For a Christian who does not love the things of this world so much as to say, not yet, but loves our Lord and says, right now, come, Lord Jesus. What does it look like? Every day that you get up, consider, today could be the day. It could be the last day. He could come back today. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. When the Christian puts that event on the calendar, he or she says, this is contingent on my Lord coming back. I've made this appointment on my calendar, but my Lord may have decided that his appointment with me when he returns is going to eclipse that event, and I'm going to have to cancel it. He's going to cancel it. The Christian makes plans each and every day and enjoys the blessings that our Lord gives and orders his life in the time before his death or our Lord's return, orders that life around receiving our Lord's gifts and loving his neighbor, knowing that at any minute our Lord could return. Our Lord could take him home first, or our Lord could return on the last day. And everything else ends, but our Lord gives something far better. I am coming soon. What is your reaction to this 2,000-year-old promise? Are you willing to say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, now, even if it means the end of everything else? No call, no vicarage, no vacation, no retirement. Even if it means that our Lord comes to give something far better. Even after 2,000 years, our Lord calls you to believe his promise and to live in faith. The Lord tells you to trust that what he gives is far better than anything else you're looking forward to or anything else that you've worked for on this earth. And so, with the Spirit and the bride, and the entire church over these last 2,000 years of waiting, we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember our LCMS military personnel, especially Alan Hosier, Cassie Hosier, Preston Curlegrand, Christopher O'Shell, James C. Christian Simpson, Joshua Castle, and Stephen Burns. We also remember our LCMS chaplains, Mario Ansira, Kyle Meechner, Ryan Mills, Carl Mueller, Ryan Schneck, Joseph Seifert, Eric Malmstrom, Joshua Schiff, Brad Boyer, Isaac Wirtz, John Bombaro, Nathaniel Jensen, and Jonah Dominicelli. I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all
He redeemed your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our God, the protector of all creation, we commend to your gracious care the men and women of our armed forces. Protect them from all dangers to body and soul. Give them a loyal, courageous, and disciplined spirit, and instill in them the love of justice and liberty, that by their service, order and peace may be maintained throughout the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, Almighty God, as you have always granted gifts of the Holy Spirit to your church on earth, grant your special blessing, we pray, to all who minister in your name in the armed forces. By your gracious working, have them honor Christ and advance the good of those committed to their care. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.